Today we think about Jesus as our good shepherd and we as his sheep. I don't know if anyone has had any experience around sheep, but anyone who has had been around sheep will tell you that although they have some endearing qualities, like lamb chops or racks of lamb, they're not the brightest creatures in the animal kingdom. They're noisy, goofy, awkward, smelly, will follow the crowd right off the cliff. Essentially, they're a taco short of a meal deal. Now, Jesus this Sunday compares the human race, compares us to the sheep. Doesn't seem much like a compliment, does it? But as a race, perhaps our Lord considers us rather noisy, awkward, smelly, and stupid at times. We are sinners, after all. And although this might be a fair critique, it's also a commentary on the love of God that Jesus reveals himself to us as the good shepherd who lays down his life for us sheep. The thinking of Jesus as our good shepherd reminds us of the intimacy and friendship between Jesus and us. At the very beginning of our gospel today also gives us a picture of that intimacy between Jesus and us. As Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And then near at the end of our brief passage today, we get another picture of that intimacy between Jesus and us. As he says of us his sheep, "No one can take them out of my hand." This is a beautiful description of Jesus close to us, protecting us, that we are in Jesus' hand. That just as a mother or father holds a child up in their hands, Jesus holds us up in his hands, close to his chest. And we have to ask ourselves, what must we do to follow our good shepherd? What must we do to be good sheep in his flock? First of all, members of the community listen to the shepherd's voice. They're aware that he is constantly addressing them in the scriptures, in the sacramental life of the church. And they tune their hearing to the sound of his voice and the message it imparts. Secondly, there's knowledge. They're confident that the good shepherd, like reliable Palestinian shepherds at the time of Jesus, has intimate knowledge of each and every one of them, each and every one of us. That the shepherd knows our strengths and our weaknesses, our capacities and liabilities. This leads to trust and readiness to follow whenever and wherever the shepherd calls. The image begins to move in a fresh direction when Jesus presents himself as the one who gives the sheep eternal life. That in John's gospel, eternal life refers to human participation in God's own eternal being. Come in communion of love, something that begins here and now, during our lives, not once we get to heaven, now. And since it is indeed the life of God, it will ensure that the flock will not be lost or stolen from the good shepherd. The grasp that binds the flock to this gift of life is not simply that of Jesus. That behind him is the grasp of the Father, who is greater than anyone. The strength of these assertions might suggest that once people become believers, they gain an automatic assurance of salvation. But what we're dealing with here is a biblical way of speaking where absolute statements are used to inculcate great confidence in God's love and power. To show that we need to trust, have that confidence in God's love and power. The gospel is exploring and exploiting to the very limit the richness of the image, picturing the relationship between the believing community and the Lord as sheep and shepherd. That in everyday life from which this image is taken, sheep get lost, sheep get stolen. The most vulnerable are those whose shepherds are not strong. The Christian community have need no fear in this regard. Their shepherd is strong with the strength of God. Indeed, since the Father and I are one, their ultimate shepherd, our ultimate shepherd, is in fact God. That this final statement is stressing the complete unity between the Father and the Son. It takes us back to the prologue of the Gospel of John. No one has ever seen the Father. It is God the Son who is ever in the heart of the Father, who has made God known. The sense of intimacy, of knowledge, of self-sacrificing love that attends the Good Shepherd image in reference to Jesus applies just as much to the disposition of the Father in our regard as well. Today's gospel, we heard Jesus say that he gives to his sheep, "I give them eternal life," but doesn't go and explain how. But twice already in the Gospel of John, Jesus has told us how he will give eternal life. That when Jesus met the woman who came to get water from the well in Samaria, he said to her, "The water that I shall give will become a spring welling up to eternal life." That spring welling up to eternal life is the Holy Spirit we receive first at baptism. Then, two chapters later, we hear Jesus say, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." So Jesus is the Good Shepherd who holds us in his hand to protect us and promises us eternal life through baptism and the Eucharist. Not only is Jesus the Good Shepherd close to us and holding us in his hand, giving us eternal life, but also wants us to be close to him. We see this again at that same meeting with the woman by the well in Samaria. That when Jesus arrived at the well, he and his disciples must have been hungry, because his disciples went to the nearby town to get food. And while they were away, Jesus had a beautiful conversation with the woman. And she opened her heart to him more and more, eventually asking him for the water that he gives. So when the disciples returned and offered him food, he said he already had food, even though he had eaten nothing. The Samaritan woman, opening her heart to him, was all the food and drink that Jesus wanted that day. That is what Jesus wants from us also, to open our hearts to him. Stay close to him always, as he wants to stay close to us. Or we can think of Zacchaeus, curious to see Jesus, so he climbs a tree. But what Jesus wanted was much more than just to be seen by Zacchaeus. So Jesus asked Zacchaeus to invite him into his house. Jesus also wants us to invite him into our houses, into our hearts. And we see the same again. When Jesus is dying on the cross, he said, "I thirst." And of course, he was dehydrated and thirsty. But above all, we understand this one of the last 7 words of Christ was his way of telling us that he thirsts for our love, thirsts for our friendship and affection. How do we satisfy this hunger and thirst of Jesus for us? By spending time with him in prayer every day. We won't simply just spend a few minutes in prayer, but we spend as long as we can every day in prayer. That in prayer, above all, we satisfy the hunger and thirst of Jesus for our love. We can read his words in the gospel at home in our Bibles. We can satisfy his hunger and thirst for us when we receive him in the sacraments. That every time we love Jesus in whatever way we do, we satisfy his hunger and thirst for us. And of course, as baptized believers, we are sheep, but we are also called to participate in Christ's office of priest, prophet, and king. That we are also called to be shepherds in the world we live in. Not just on Sunday, but every day, at work, at home, on the internet. That we're called to be shepherds because of our configuration to Christ by our baptism. That we participate in the priestly office of Christ by being people who pray and worship as a community here at Mass. That we participate in the prophetic office of Jesus by being proud witnesses to our Catholic faith, to those outside rather than being lukewarm in our Catholic identity. We participate in the kingly office of Jesus by being an extension of the Lord's governing power on earth, by taking a stand for what is right, by structuring our lives to a rule of life that is consistent to our Catholic beliefs. We can also think that there are the sheepdogs for Jesus' flock. And by sheepdogs, I mean our mothers, who we remember this weekend, of how they have cared for us, brought us back to the flock, keeping us on that straight and narrow. And we need to be grateful to our mothers for giving us the gift of life, for giving us the gift of our faith, for being there throughout our lives, protecting us, guiding us closer and closer to our Lord. But today we think about Jesus as our Good Shepherd and the intimacy and friendship between Jesus and us. That Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And no one can take them out of my hand." This is a beautiful description of Jesus close to us, protecting us. We are in Jesus' hand, just as that mother and father hold their child in their hands. He wants us to be close to him. That when the Samaritan woman opened her heart to Jesus, that was all that Jesus wanted. And on the cross, he thirsted for our love, affection, and intimacy. We satisfy Jesus' hunger and thirst for us by meeting him during Sunday Mass, spending time with him in prayer every day, and receiving him in the sacraments. That we have a shepherd who cares for us, who has laid down his life for us. That we can have all the confidence in the world, that we have that great love he has given to us. That he will keep us from every evil and danger in the world as long as we turn to him, as long as we stay part of his flock.